2 Timothy chapter 1. We read the entire chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Our text for this service you can find in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Paul is writing his last letter. He is in prison for the sake of the gospel, and the time of his departure is at hand. And in his last letter, he is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. He thinks on Timothy a lot. And he is grateful to God for Timothy, and that he can think on him, and that he can remember him. Verse 3 tells us that. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And so, thinking on Timothy a lot, he also expresses his desire to see Timothy. You see, he is in prison, and he is restricted in his movement, and he would love to see Timothy to his face. And so he says in verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And what does Paul, when he thinks on Timothy, what does Paul think of? He thinks of the last meeting that he had with Timothy, most likely. And what he remembers most from that last meeting is Timothy's tears. And what did those tears say to Paul? Well, that Timothy did not want to be separated from Paul. Those tears spoke of warm affection. It spoke of true devotion to his spiritual father. And so Paul wants to see Timothy because of his love, but also because of his faith. That's what verse 5 tells us. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. You see, Paul not only remembers Timothy's love, but also Timothy's faith. And as he is there in his prison cell, thinking on Timothy's faith, he goes on to think about Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother and their faith. And at the faith of this mother and grandmother, we wish to look this afternoon. Our theme is the unfeigned faith of a mother and grandmother. The unfeigned faith of a mother and of a grandmother. First, what it is. Secondly, what it looks like. And thirdly, what it is worth. The unfeigned faith of a mother and of a grandmother. First, what it is. Second, what it looks like. And thirdly, what it is worth. What is this unfeigned faith? Paul here is speaking of a mother and a grandmother. And what thoughts of love should dwell in our hearts when we think of our mothers? For if it is right, what all has a mother not done for you? She has shown care. She has shown compassion. Boys and girls, when you fell and you hurt yourself, who did you run to? Did you not run to your mother? And who did you run to when someone else hurt you? Surely we have most often run to our mothers. Who is it that has shown the most sacrifice in our lives? Who is it that has nourished you, who has taken you in her arms and held you endless hours? Who is it that has taken you by the hand and has taught you to eat, to walk, and many other things? Your mother. The mother is such an important role to play in the raising of children. A mother is of such importance in the influencing the eternal good by God's blessing of our children. And well, our text speaks of two mothers, Eunice and Lois. Eunice is the mother of Timothy. And Eunice herself has a mother whose name is Lois. And what do we know of these women? Well, we know that they lived in the first century. That means that they lived around the time of Christ and shortly thereafter. And they lived most likely near Lystra. Most likely that's where we find them, because in Acts 16, that's where we discover Eunice for the first time. And that is near Lystra. We also know that these women were Jewish women. But we have a question yet. Who were their husbands? Who were they married to? Well, for Lois, the grandmother, we don't know. But of Eunice, we know that she married a Greek. She married a Gentile. Why did she marry him? Well, maybe because he was attractive. Maybe because he had shown himself willing to attend the synagogue and to go with her through the Jewish ceremonies. But it proved soon after that he preferred his Greek way of life. And he preferred the Gentile way of living. He preferred the Greek gods and he preferred the Greek goddesses over the Jewish religion. And this must have been reason for great grief in Eunice later on. But when Paul thinks of them, he doesn't think of these things first of all. When he thinks of these women, he thinks of their faith. Timothy's father is not included in this list. He is not a man of faith. But these women, they are. As he says, the faith that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Here are, in other words, women of faith. Here are mothers of faith. What kind of faith? Well, faith in Jesus Christ. In Acts 16, where we meet Eunice, as well as Timothy, there Luke writes of her, of a Jewish woman. And he says, a believer. And whenever Acts speaks of a Jewish believer, then it is someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these women had come to faith in Christ. How did they come to faith in Christ? Well, that we don't know. But we do know that they were exposed to the Scriptures from their early years on, for they had grown up in Jewish homes. And most likely, they had come to look for the Messiah, as well as the Old Testament saints. And just like Simeon and Anna, Zechariah and Elizabeth too, who had lived around the birth of Christ, they were waiting for the promised Messiah. And now that means that these women who had come to look for the Messiah must have also been born again. For without the new birth, there is no true faith. And without the new birth, there is no longing for the Messiah to save from sin. Without the new birth, there is no love for the Word of God. But we know of these women that they had come to love the Word of God. And they had come to see their need for deliverance from sin. And they had come to see their sinful heart. And they had also, as well as others, come to look for the fulfillment of the promises of God of the coming Messiah. Not only Lois, the grandmother, but also Eunice. And now these women were privileged to live around the time of Christ's life and His death and the first spreading of the gospel. And though most likely they had never seen Jesus Christ in the flesh, they had come to hear of Christ through the preaching of Paul, who had come to Lystra. And on the preaching of Paul, they had found that this Christ is the Messiah whom the Lord had promised to send, and that His promise of sending the Messiah was fulfilled in Christ. And He it was who had died to save from sin. He it was who was risen again to apply that salvation from sin. And He is now exalted in heaven. And they came to see this Jesus as the Savior of sinners. They were persuaded, without a doubt. And they came to trust in Him. Women of faith. Now, a particular kind of faith is spoken of. Unfeigned faith. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. Unfeigned faith. And do we not learn in this very use of the word unfeigned that there are different kinds of faith? Some say, faith is faith. Doesn't matter. Must be all the same. Paul here tells us that it is not all the same. That there is such a thing as true faith, and also such a thing as false faith. There is such a thing as unfeigned faith and feigned faith. Now, what does the word feign mean? What does the word feign mean? Well, it means to pretend. It means to act as if. And what do you do when you pretend? What do you do when you act as if? Maybe our boys and girls know of what it is to pretend. When you are in your room at night and your mom has put you to bed, and you're supposed to be sleeping, but you're still playing. And maybe you're talking to your brother in the room, or maybe you have a friend that's sleeping over, and you are not sleeping. But then what does your mom do sometimes? She comes up the stairs and she wants to check whether you are sleeping. And you hear her footsteps. And then you say, oh no. And you run into bed and you lay there and you pretend like you are sleeping. Are you sleeping? No. You are pretending to be sleeping. You are pretending to do something that you are not doing. And so you lie there on a bed, as a person who sleeps also does. And you are laying then in a sleeping position, and you have your eyes closed, and you seem to be in a dead sleep. But it's only pretend. It's only an act. And that's what Paul is thinking of here when he uses the word unfeigned. You see, this is the language of the stage. This is the language of the stage player, an actor who puts on a mask and he masks himself and he doesn't show his true self. He pretends that he is different than he actually is. And so that tells us that there is a faith of pretense. Else Paul would not speak of an unfeigned faith. And Jesus himself speaks about such a thing when he says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me." People can have the form of religion, almost matching a true believer to a T, but they lack the power of it. And so people may speak of faith. They may use the word faith. They may have forms of faith. They may have certain postures of faith, but it is feigned faith. It is hypocritical faith. And what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is an actor. Someone who is insincere. Someone who is putting on a show. But with these women, that is not the case. It's an unfeigned faith. Literally, it is an unhypocritical faith. In other words, this is no act. This is no pretend. This is not hypocritical at all. This is true faith. And this is a faith of the heart. For Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice." It dwelt in them. And the idea here with dwelling in them gives us the picture of a house, living in a house, taking up residence in a house. And what do you do when you take up residence in a house? Then you don't just set a mattress outside of the house. Then you don't just set it by the front door and by the front steps. Then you don't just simply put a bed in the garage and that's it. That would not be taking up residence. For then you would be staying outside of the house. Now that's what many do when it comes to faith. Faith is something that is outside of them. It lives on the outskirts of them. It may be in their minds. It may be in their emotions. But that's it. It's not in their heart. But you see, when the Holy Spirit works faith, then He works faith in the heart. He works faith at the very core of the being. For when a sinner comes to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then he needs to rely upon Christ with the core of his being, with the whole of his being. And only such faith is true faith. Only such faith is living faith. Only such faith lays hold of Christ and of all His benefits. Now, do you know such faith? Do you know this unfeigned faith? Do you know this unhypocritical faith? Or do you wear a mask when it comes to faith? Have you learned simply to pretend faith? This is a crucial question, isn't it? For the one faith saves, and the other does not. You can have a pretend faith that looks just like faith and still go lost. Do you know of a true faith? Do you know of a faith that takes root at the very core of your being, in your heart? Do you know of a faith that lives in you? Has the Holy Spirit kindled this faith in your heart? Can we see unfeigned faith in practice? Yes, we can. Let's look at that secondly, what it looks like, what this unfeigned faith looks like. For you see, this unfeigned faith was something that Timothy could see. It was something that he could see in his mother and in his grandmother. And it was something probably that he had also spoken of to Paul. And most likely Paul was able to see this unfeigned faith himself. And that tells us that unfeigned faith is something that you can see. You can tell it by its fruits. For you see, it is living faith. And it speaks of a living bond to a living Savior, Christ Jesus. This faith is noticeable. How? Well, these mothers must have been women of prayer. That first of all. They were women of prayer. They held communion with the Lord. They sought the Lord much. And they sought Him much in solitude. They entered into their own private closets. And Timothy could not follow them there. But yet Timothy knew that they did spend much time in secret. But they must have also sought the Lord also in public, in the presence of Timothy. And Timothy could tell that there was something real about them as they were praying. Timothy could tell this is real. They were taken up with the promises of God. They were pleading with the Lord for the coming of the Messiah. They were praying for the work of the Holy Spirit. They were people that were breathing after the Lord. They could not help it. The Lord had given them life in their souls, you see. And when you know of life in your souls, then you also come to pant after the Lord. Oh, sure, there must have been times in their life when their prayer life waned. And when they weren't so strong in faith and so strong in prayer, but that belongs to unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith grows. Unfeigned faith changes. It has its ups and downs. Hypocritical faith, on the other hand, stays the same. You see, a mask doesn't change. The mask stays the same. But here, these women knew of a change. And they learn to depend on the Lord. And that's what true faith expresses. True faith expresses dependence. And so these women were such praying and dependent women. What else did this unfeigned faith of these mothers look like? Well, secondly, they were not only women of prayer, but also women of the Word. If you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, then we see something of that. That these were women of the Word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. What do we see there? We find these words, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Paul says to Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Scriptures. And the word child here is infant. And it also is at times used to speak of an unborn child in Scripture. Now, in other words, this was a time in Timothy's life where he was incapable of learning the Scriptures himself. He was incapable to study the Scriptures. And still Paul says that from a child, that from an infant, that perhaps even from a preborn child, thou hast known. How did he know the Scriptures? Oh, because he had a mother who loved the Scriptures, and a grandmother too, who loved the Word, and they taught the Word to Timothy. For what you love, you teach, and you share, and you want to pass it on. And Timothy's mother and grandmother were taken up with the Word. They read the Word. They meditated upon the Word. And they treasured the Word in their heart, as also Mary did, the mother of the Lord Jesus. They spent much time on the Scriptures. They were not so taken up with the words of men. They were not taken up with the words of their society, with the magazines and with the cares of the society. No, they were taken up with the Word, an unchanging Word of God. They read of the Lord's dealings with the children of Israel. They read of His promises, of His judgments. That was what their focus was on, the Word of God. And in the way in which they taught Timothy the Word of God, that showed their unfeigned faith. And Timothy there, as a little lad growing up, hearing the Bible truths, you might say, although they only had the Old Testament Scriptures at this time, that as he was hearing the Old Testament being taught to them, taught to him, he could feel that the things of which they were speaking were real. It was real that he had a soul. The curse of God was real. Sin was evil. Punishments of the Lord were dreadful. Blessings of the Lord were great. And they spoke much of the promises of God. And you see, these women, they lived on the promises of God, of pardon of sin and of eternal life, and of the favor of God and of the Holy Spirit. And when these women heard of Christ through that preacher Paul coming through Lystra, then they must have received a deeper love for the Word. Have you ever seen a mother take the Scriptures and press it to her heart? That's what these women did with the Word of God. And they tried to press it upon Timothy's heart too. They had a genuine love for the Word because they had a genuine faith. But chiefly, these were women of the Savior. Not only women of prayer, not only women of the Word, but women of the Savior. Remember, faith spoken of here is faith in Christ. And so that means that these were women who were clinging to the blood of Christ, clinging to the righteousness of Christ, clinging to His redemption. Maybe you can imagine one day, Timothy there with his mother in the house. He's there with his mother Eunice, and there is young son Timothy. Maybe Timothy at a certain time looks at his mother, and he sees that she is deep in thought, and he sees some tears rolling down her cheeks. And Timothy, as a young boy, asks, "Mom, what are you thinking of?" And Eunice, not wanting to share with her son the things of which she was thinking of, "Oh, it's okay." Timothy asks again, "Mom, what are you thinking of?" See, a young boy wants to know what his mother is thinking of. Child wants to know what is dear to his mother. And maybe then Eunice begins to say, "Oh, Timothy, I was thinking of the Savior. I was thinking of the Savior of sinners, of God's gift for sinners." And surely Eunice, just as any Christian woman, was a sinner. And some days that came out more than other days. It came out in her impatience, perhaps, as a mother. It came out in her thoughts. But she was a sinner, and she knew that. And how she must have been grieved at how she offended the Lord. And see what her sin had done to Christ. That it meant that He had to go nailed to the cross, also for her sin. But she couldn't let go of Him. She was a woman of the Savior. You see, this unfeigned faith could be seen. But maybe Eunice and Lois, they could not see this faith themselves clearly. That's possible, isn't it? Maybe these women struggled with faith. But whether or not they struggled with faith, others could see this unfeigned faith. For you see, these women did not aim to put their faith on display. They did not aim to put their lives on display. That's what hypocrites do. Hypocrites want to display themselves. They want to sound the trumpet so that others might see them and others might focus on them. No, these women were not like that. Remember, they were unhypocritical. But when the Lord has implanted unfeigned faith, and then it comes out. Then it comes out in your life that the Lord has been at work. It comes out in your joys, and it comes out in your trials. It comes out in adversity and difficulties. And these women must have had their trials too. They must have had their afflictions too. Think only of Eunice, having to bear with an unbelieving husband. Sure, they had their trials, inward and outward afflictions. But then Timothy could see through it all. But maybe what Lois and Eunice could not see, the unfeigned faith. And let's speak thirdly of the worth of this unfeigned faith. What is the worth of this faith? What is the value of this faith? Well, it is of great value. You might have some kind of faith that is not true faith. And though it looks like true faith, you still go lost. But here is a faith that is of great worth, whereby a sinner is saved. And what was this faith worth to these mothers? Well, it was a faith that bound them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is greater than that, than to be bound to Christ, to belong to Christ? And how valuable such faith is to parents. And how privileged also a boy is who can grow up in a home where there is unfeigned faith. Timothy was privileged to grow up in this home. He was privileged to grow up with a mother who had unfeigned faith. And now, children, may I speak to you? You who grow up in a home where your mommy or your daddy has this kind of faith. What a privilege it is to grow up in a God-fearing home where you have God-fearing parents. To have even one parent who knows this unfeigned faith. You are a privileged boy or girl. To have parents who know the Lord Jesus and who pray for you. Parents who shed their tears for you. Who love your soul and who seek your soul's good. Who seek also your care for the life in this world, but especially for the world to come. What a privilege it is to have parents who love the Scriptures and who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, children, there are others, children just like you, who do not have such privileges, who do not grow up in a home with the Word of God open, who grow up in a home and there is no prayer, grow up in a home and there is no hearing the law of God. They grow up in a home and they never hear about Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. There are children whose parents never consider that their children have to die and appear before God. And there are other children, you know, boys and girls, who do grow up in religious homes, but they've never seen living faith. They've never seen unfeigned faith. They only see religion as a form. They only see it as a custom. But if you may have a parent with unfeigned faith, then you are greatly privileged. Does that mean that everything then will be well with you? That because you have a believing father, or because you have a believing mother, you are safe? No, that's not what it means. For we read of Cain. His parents had unfeigned faith, but he went lost. And we read of an Ishmael, the son of Abraham, the father of the faithful. His father had unfeigned faith, but he didn't. Think of Esau. Parents had unfeigned faith, but he didn't. You see, you need to be born again. And that's what Timothy needed too. And what your parents have received from the Lord, dear boys and girls, is something that also you need to receive from the Lord. Yourself. Never will anyone be saved simply because his father or his mother is saved. But here Paul writes, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. But you know what, boys and girls, you who have believing parents, it could be that the Lord says to you, your grandmother, she had this unfeigned faith. And your mother had this unfeigned faith. But I am persuaded you don't have this unfeigned faith. See, by nature, no matter how believing our parents are, none of us have this unfeigned faith. And what you need, dear boys and girls, is you need to ask the Lord for this kind of faith, this true faith in your heart. Do you also ask this from the Lord? Do you also want it from the Lord? But let us seek to apply also these words to parents. Parents in our midst. What if your parents were godly, but you are not godly parents? Your parents, believers, but you are not a true believer yourself. And then perhaps we can speak of the unfeigned faith of a Lois. But we cannot speak of the unfeigned faith of a Eunice. you yourself are unbelieving. And you could grow up under a Lois, but you will not follow her in her faith. You will not cry out to the God of your mother to save you. You have come in close contact with true faith, with true religion. Your parents, it's been their greatest concern that you would be saved eternally. But you don't think of it as a concern. Well, dear unbelieving parents who had believing parents, will the prayers of your parents accuse you in the last day? Will the love that your parents showed and the earnest desires of your parents, will they testify against you? And will your children who grow up in your home accuse you? That they will say to you, you, dear mother and father, you could grow up in believing homes. You could grow up with a home in which they love the Word of God. You could grow up with God-fearing parents, but you were not such God-fearing parents to us. You had parents who taught you, but we do not have parents that teach us. You had parents who were earnestly concerned about your eternal welfare, but you will not seek our eternal welfare. You gave us over to ourselves. You gave us over unto our evil hearts. You gave us over to the world. I pray that such things would never be said of us. But then, dear parents, there needs to be unfeigned faith. Else it will be there was a Lois, but there was no Eunice. What about if your parents were not true believers? What if your parents were not God-fearing? Well, I pray you, do not imitate their unbelief. Let me give an illustration. The story is told of some parents of a young boy who were godless parents. They decided to go to the circus. They wanted to take their boy along. But the boy knew that a circus is not a place that he should go to. And so he protested to his parents, and he spoke to his parents that they should not go there. And that he ended up fleeing from his parents and escaping out of their grip because he said it is better to obey God than man. You see, he did not want to imitate his parents' worldliness. And we should not imitate the unbelief of unbelieving parents. And if that is your case, learn what was missing in your parents' lives. Unfeigned faith. And seek after that. Plead with the Lord yourself for mercy. But what if you are married to a believing spouse, but you are not a believer yourself? That was the case here too, wasn't it? Eunice had married a man who did not join her in the faith. And now what if you are married to an unbelieving spouse? Shall you not seek, dear parents, to be one in the faith? Shall you not seek to be united in the Lord? Shall you, by your unbelief, be a hindrance to your spouse? If your wife is a believer, ask her to pray for you. And pray for yourself, seeking for this unfeigned faith. Seeking for an unhypocritical face before the face of God. Seeking honesty. And listen to your spouse, who is a believer, as they speak about the Lord. And watch their life and see what you are missing as an unbeliever. And what if you are single? You say this is something that is related to parents. But I'm not married. Or maybe, what if we are married but we don't have children? Well, think for a moment then of the letter writer, Paul, writing to Timothy. He was a single man. And yet he calls Timothy his spiritual son. May we be spiritual fathers and mothers by praying for others, seeking the good of others, and maybe praying for someone whom you know so little, someone who sits in front of you in church, or someone you meet. Lay them before the Lord daily. Oh, dear congregation, shall we not urge this unfeigned faith upon all of us? Is this not something that you need, dear parents? Is this not something that we all stand in need of? We need an unhypocritical faith. And is that not what Paul would press upon you and upon me? He holds it up for Timothy to consider and to follow. And does that not apply to us? Ah, someone says, is it really that important? Can't we just do with love? Love for one another, love for our children. Without faith in Christ, we do not truly love our children. Without faith in Christ, we have no true love for children. We need this unfeigned faith. Without this unfeigned faith, we have no bond to Christ Jesus. Then that means that we do not belong to Christ, and that means that we are apart from Christ. And apart from Christ means death. Apart from Christ means no salvation. We need this unfeigned faith to belong to the Lord. And without this unfeigned faith, we don't have a place to go with all our needs. And do you not have many needs? Do you not have many needs, boys and girls? Do you not have many needs as parents? Daily needs, temporal needs, but especially eternal needs. And do you have a place to go with all those needs? Do you have a place to go with all the burdens and all the trials of your life? Do you have a place to go with all your afflictions? You see, we need this unfeigned faith. And without this unfeigned faith, we have no pardon for sins. Our sins are not pardoned. Our sins of youth are not pardoned. Our sins in marriage are not pardoned. Our sins as parents are not pardoned. Our sins as heads of households, dear husbands, are not pardoned. Our original sin isn't pardoned, but it climbs mountains high to the face of God, all unpardoned sin. And sin needs to be pardoned if you will be saved. And without this unfeigned faith, we are in danger. I mean that kind of danger of that woman who taught her children the truth. She taught her children the scriptures. She taught them to sing psalters. And then after 15 years of doing that, she left her husband. She left her children. She began to live with another man. And she went into the world. What was missing? The truth? No, she was teaching the truth. What was missing? Good intentions? No, she most likely had good intentions. What was missing was unfeigned faith. Maybe you say, I don't dare to say that I have this unfeigned faith. I'm afraid I'm a father or I'm a mother without this faith. My children, they do not have the privilege that Timothy had. If that is your case, dear parents, do you not need this unfeigned faith? And shall we not seek for this unfeigned faith? Where shall we seek for it? Shall we seek for it in ourselves? No, seek for this unfeigned faith in the giver of faith, from the Lord alone. And then you see that 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 has written behind it, God, the giver of faith, who makes a Eunice, and who makes a Lois, and who makes a Timothy. Is he willing to give this faith? He was willing to give his son into the world. Is he not also willing to give faith to unite sinners to his son? He was willing to give his Holy Spirit to come into the world and to be poured out upon Pentecost. Is he not willing to work this faith in your heart as a sinner? What shall we do then? If that is our concern, needing this unfeigned faith and not having it. Open, saith the Lord, wide thy mouth believing. Lord, keep me from pretending faith. Keep me from putting on a mask. I need the genuine thing. I need to belong to Christ Jesus. And he says, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. Amen.